This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Welcome to Inside the Paint on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Clay Ferraro here, Ira Winderman there, and Orlando Alzagari keeping us on the air until Sean enters the studio. As always, we're going to keep this thing interactive. Drop us your comments. We'll get to your questions as the show goes on. Ira, how are you doing? Are we going to overreact in the first week of the season?
You know what? It's interesting, Clay, because to a degree you can overreact because, as you mentioned in our lead into the show today, the Heat with Kyle Lowry, the Heat without Kyle Lowry are two completely different teams. And the fact that it's that severe, what you saw opening night against Milwaukee, that tour de force, what you saw in Indiana, the overtime loss, what you saw against Orlando, Kyle coming back, not needing to do it statistically in order to drive this team. It just shows you, one, the impact of that acquisition, but how much you need him on the floor. But it's also you see a team coming together. The Markieff Morris moment on Monday, and I understand it's against Orlando, a bad team that also was depleted, but this team really is really pretty much eight deep, if you want to be honest about it. The top three reserves being Tyler Hero, we'll get into him a little bit more, Dwayne Dedman and Markieff Morris. So you need those three guys to pretty much be on, or at least two of those three every game. The Morris thing was sort of a revelation. He had struggled in the first two games, came on, hit his first five shots against Orlando, and I think it just makes them a different team. So we're starting to get a feel for the Heat. We cannot overreact. I agree. It's an 82-game season. You don't jump to conclusions. But you know what? The schedule, and we'll get into this later in the show, gets progressively more difficult now when you're looking at the Nets tonight. You have a tough back-to-back against scrappy teams, Charlotte at home on Friday, at Memphis on Saturday, then Luka Doncic and Dallas next Tuesday. So there's going to be a few more tests. We're going to see what they're going to be. But if you had to ask me, sort of define what I think the Heat are going to be, they're going to be that scrappy defensive team, and they're going to win games with low scores, and they're going to try to out-defend you. That seems like the way it's shaping up. There's a lot of tough guys. You know, as you know, they refer to themselves as the dogs in the kennel, you know, and I think this season will be a season about kennel rations.
By the way, Rich, thank you so much for that. Make sure to please hit the like button for us. And guys, you guys have been absolutely fantastic. The downloads this past week have been absolutely insane, so please keep that up. Please keep your comments and your questions coming. Thomas, two games Lowry has played, very few turnovers. The game without him, not so much. And let's start there, Ira, because I think the Kyle Lowry factor, and they call it Kyle chaos, this is why they got him. And I think it's been staggering. And, you know, you can look at the metrics, and certainly the numbers play out this way, but just the eyeball test of this team with him versus without him. And it's good and it's bad, right? And yes. I would say it's great and it's terrible. I'd take it to two different extremes, that if he is able to stay healthy and if this team is able to stay together, and you mentioned the eight in the rotation, and I do think you have other players who could step up and make an impact, guys like Max Strus and potentially maybe a Yurtseven way down the line. But you know, you have the top eight, I think, set. Kyle Lowry, when he is on the floor, and if he can stay healthy with this team, I think it's safe to say that they're entering that category of potentially being maybe a top-end challenger, maybe a lower-end contender, and a team that could certainly scare you and could certainly make a finals run. But the frightening part of that is you're relying on guys in their early to mid-30s, and in Lowry's case, mid-30s, to make this team a difference maker as the season goes on. So I think Lowry has been everything that Heat fans could have hoped for and more, and yet I think it is scary when you see how poorly they played offensively at times in Indiana without him, that I think it's both sides of that equation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We went through the preseason together and we did these shows and we talked about the roster management and Jimmy Butler only played two games and how it's smart with an older roster to do that. Clay, I'm really curious about this weekend. When you play Charlotte and you play Memphis, you're playing two of the younger, feistier teams in the NBA. So you have that in play that you're going to have to run. You're going to have to play hard to beat them. How does Eric Spoelstra handle that with your 36-year-old starting power forward in P.J. Tucker, with your 35-year-old starting point guard in Kyle Lowry, your 32-year-old shooting guard, small forward in Jimmy Butler? Does he stagger them? Does he say, okay, this is our target game. We're going all in against the Hornets. It's a conference game. It's a division game. We'll take care of that. We'll let the cards, you know, fall where they might in Memphis. The other thing is, when you look at this roster, and this is something I've been harping on with Big O also in my appearances over there with him, is I can give you a backup at just about every position on this roster. It might not be what you want or how you want it, but if Jimmy or Duncan can't play, Tyler Hero steps up as your wing. You can slot him in there. If one of the forwards can't play, either a power forward or a small forward, PJ Tucker, Duncan Robinson, you could put Markieff Morris in there. Been there, seen that, done it. So you have that situation also. You could even talk about at center. Maybe not optimal, but you can play Dwayne Dedman there. You can play Omar Yurtseven for skill minutes if you need that. But a point guard is not that easy. And we saw Gabe Vincent, God bless him, play against Indiana in the overtime loss on Saturday. He's not an innate point guard. And I've mentioned this to you, and I know you mentioned this when you've done some talk shows also. There are certain innate things in sports. Being a quarterback is innate. You know how to do it, or else you're Tannehill for 5 years learning how to do it. Point guard, to me, is the same thing. Gabe Vincent's always been a shooter. Mostly has been an undersized shooting guard where he succeeded with his three-point shooting. So that's the thing, is Eric Spoelstra might be able to stagger the games for Jimmy Butler, for PJ Tucker, for his older players. I don't know if he can do it for Kyle Lowry. I think that he'd have to get to that. And I know they're not adding a player right now. I know they can't do that. I know the John Wall thing, if it happens, is a down-the-road kind of thing. But I am curious to see if maybe they just go back to what they were last year and just say, hey, this will be our plan B. I mentioned this to the players after the game in Indiana, that Bam will facilitate from the elbow. Jimmy will advance the ball. There will be a Kyle game plan. There will be a non-Kyle game plan. And Eric Spoelstra sort of will carry these two suitcases around with him, you know, handcuffed to his wrists. If Kyle, we do this. If no Kyle, we do that. Not optimal to have two different game plans, sort of see what the Dolphins, the Tua Dolphins, the non-Tua Dolphins would present, but it might be a direction they have to go.
Well, I think that's a great comparison with the Dolphins, and the big difference being that you got 82 games in the NBA and 17 in the NFL, to where in the NBA, and you hate to say this, but it is a fact, you can afford to go into games knowing, look, we may have to punt on this one. And by when I say punt, I mean go into the game hoping that you can grind one out and win a game like you lost in Indiana the other night. And Indiana was a desperate team, but they were on the second night of a back-to-back. And I think that team's really talented. I think they're a lot more talented than
they were. But they were also shorthanded. They also didn't have TJ Warren. They didn't have Caris LeVert. You should have gotten them at that moment, because you will play them later in the season when they do have their guys. So that's a bit of a concern. Yes. You know, they're 2-1. You don't overstate anything. You'd love to be 3-0. Not everyone can be the Panthers. So you deal with what you have and you sort of move forward there. But it's these statement games coming up, Clay, that I'm curious about. Even beyond next week, when you then play Boston and you play Utah, and then you go west with a grueling trip against Denver and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Jazz. So you have to win some tough ones along the way. You have to win in some road spots. You have to beat some quality teams. Look, to be a quality team, you have to beat quality teams. Yes. Opening night, you know, it was an impressive win. But again, the Heat have only faced shorthanded to this point, Clay. Opening night, you didn't have Brooke Lopez, you didn't have Drew Holiday, you didn't have Bobby Portis. Game number two, Indiana didn't have Caris LeVert, didn't have TJ Warren. Even on Monday, and I know the Magic are terrible with or without, but they didn't have Jonathan Isaac, arguably their best player, arguably maybe their only good player. They didn't have him. They didn't have Michael Carter-Williams. They didn't have Markelle Fultz. Tonight you go into Brooklyn, they don't have Kyrie. But I look at this differently for this reason. Brooklyn is not going to have Kyrie for the foreseeable future. So, you know, you can say Brooklyn is shorthanded tonight, but then you're going to have to include that word shorthanded before every Brooklyn game, maybe the rest of the season, or at least the first half of the season, until there's a mayoral change in New York. So that's what makes it interesting. This is a team that is what it is, the Nets. This is a Heat team. They've traveled healthy, except for Victor Oladipo. They are what they are. It would be like the opposing team, Clay, saying, well, we're getting the shorthanded Heat because they don't have Victor Oladipo. They may never have Victor Oladipo based on how he's handled coming back from other injuries. I need to see some quality wins. You have to put together the W's against the good teams also. They have one against Milwaukee. I'll give them credit on that. Orlando was practically a bye with what they arrived with on the second night of a back-to-back. tonight will be really interesting.
Yeah, and they're going to get that chance now because, man, this schedule coming up is bonkers. I mean, my goodness. And you know, it's the next 10 games, really, that there's not a breather on that schedule. C says, do you see the Heat trading KZ Akpala for a backup point guard possibly? No, you know, because I think you have to give up something to get something. Yes. And also, Ira, you've mentioned that the salary restrictions at this point, you'd almost have to go dollar for dollar right now. As the season goes on, you would potentially have the ability to add somebody. But no, you're not going to get a valuable contributor right now for KZ Akpala because he isn't.
Right. You know, and that's the thing. The Heat are very limited by the luxury tax, but they're limited by one factor more than that, Clay. And that's the composition of this roster. They're carrying 14 instead of 15 because of the tax. This will almost be a weekly segment of the limited Heat roster, but I'm going to do the math again. Udonis Haslem doesn't play. KZ Akpala can't play. Victor Oladipo is not healthy enough to play. Omar Yurtseven is learning how to play. You only have 10 of those roster spots that really are active contributors. Probably the 10th man right now is Gabe Vincent. Didn't really play moments of truth against Brooklyn. Number 9 is Max Strus. Very limited mix. And it's awfully tough to have a limited mix when you also have an older roster. So it's a very fine line the Heat are walking right now. What they really want, what this team is built for is this. They want to buy into the playoffs. Their perfect world would be give us any seed. We'll see you in the middle of April. We'll pay our taxes 100%. And then we'll go to our real work. But you have to get there through the 82 games.
Yeah. And as we talked about, it's less important to get like a great seed as long as you're not in 7 or 8. And now, do you want home court advantage? And especially given what this team is showing right now and looking at some of the questions around the league, like you could make the case that this team would be good enough if they put their best on the floor for 82 games to compete for one of those top 2 or 3 seeds. However, that's not the real world we're living in. And as Thomas mentioned, this team looked like it had dead legs in the playoffs last year. And there were reasons for that. COVID, the short offseason, the ridiculously short offseason. Yeah. So like you could make the case for all of those. But the bottom line is that you want to pick your spots. You don't like I would look at the schedule right now and say, I don't know that I want Kyle Lowry playing in Memphis on the second night. I would play him against Charlotte because I think that Charlotte game, that's going to be a statement game for the Hornets. Yes. And it's going to be a game for Miami that, regardless of what happens tonight, Charlotte is a team right now that, man, like everything that they're putting out there, plus they're young, like they're going to come out and they're going to have an increased level of urgency in that game. And I think you want that to be kind of a measuring stick game. Not that you're looking at Charlotte as one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the Eastern Conference, despite their record, just that it's a team that, man, they're trying to make a statement. So you want as a competitor to go out there and do
slap
that.
Slap them down and slap them back in their place. Again, you know, you always talk about what's the means to success in the NBA. It's win your home games, find some success on the road. That's a home game. You want to protect your home court.
Right.
You want to make FTX a place no one wants to come to play. Then you can pick and choose on the road. And you're right, Clay. So you might say, you know what? If you win most of your home games and you win your road games against the Sacramentos, the Oklahoma Cities, the Orlandos, the Clevelands, the Detroits, you'll get enough game to get into the upper 40s in wins to position yourself out of the play-in and not having to play Brooklyn or Milwaukee in the first round. So Eric Spoelstra will never say this. And oh my God, you know those steely eyes that he has when you ask him about it. You know, and Mike, you give guys off. And it's interesting because he always goes, we don't do load management. That's not in our lexicon. Okay, well, they might call it something else, but they do something close to that because they have to do something close to that. So that's the thing is, I think there is a picking and choosing. And I think what's going to happen is this. We're going to ask Eric Spoelstra pregame at FTX Arena on Friday before the game against Charlotte, do you plan to sit some starters today or tomorrow? And he's going to give the death glare. We have a game tonight. That's all I'm worried about. If our guys can play, they will play. We will then go to Memphis. I'll be there on Saturday, and we'll ask Eric Spoelstra before the game there at FedEx Forum. Are all you guys playing? He goes, we're still working on that. And I think he'll roll out Heat Light on that night. Then you got 2 days off before you play national television in Dallas. We know the league is cracking down on don't sit your starters in their national games. You know they're coming. That's our big money partners. That's a national televised game, not going to be on Bally Sports. We want your best out there in Dallas. So there is some picking and choosing. They will never acknowledge it. And then, Clay, to your point, they should do it, shouldn't they?
Yes. Yes. Because, look, I mean, we've already seen it. Like, we've already seen This team is so much different when Kyle Lowry is on the floor. And we've already seen him suffer, albeit a freak injury, it was an injury. He suffered an injury in game one, came back, but it kept him out of game two. And so when you see the difference, that's staggering. Wouldn't you rather have to deal with that difference on the second night of a back-to-back in Memphis in October versus in the playoffs?
Like, yeah, and you know what? And people call those games schedule losses. You know, you see when the schedule comes out at the start of the season. Thankfully, the Heat, I believe, only have 14 back-to-backs this season. Five of those are home back-to-backs. You're well-rested. You're not traveling. One of those back-to-backs is playing the Lakers and the Clippers on consecutive nights in Staples. You're sleeping in L.A. It's not a problem there also. I heard the hotel's pretty nice. So apparently, this four-season chains has very good rooms. So you're good there. So you're talking about nine travel back-to-backs. This is one of those nine. So if you're prudent on these nine, I think you'll cover yourself. Matter of fact, I spoke to Eric Spoelstra about the schedule. He really liked last year's baseball series-like schedule where you stayed in the same city, got both road games knocked off against the same team. He felt it really eased it. I can understand from a fan perspective, Clay, you don't want to have to go to consecutive nights of Heat Pistons at the arena. It's hard enough to go to one night. To me, it's like going to Marlins games and going, oh, the Pirates, three in a row, yay! You know, you just it doesn't work for the fans, even if it works for the teams. So it is a tougher schedule, maybe, from a travel standpoint than the Heat faced last season. And because of that, I do think you have to pick and choose. I think you and I could go through the schedule and circle boxes and saying, you know what, schedule loss. If you win it, God bless you, but you kind of know how it sets up.
Daniel asks, what is our cap currently? You can find it in your couch cushion. That's about where they are right now.
They're right about $400,000, or as
well. That's
Clay
an
and I,
IRS couch cushion.
Well, or as so. Clay and I call it, a lifetime earnings. But about $400,000, what they have. The minimum salary, which to pick up, you know, an undrafted player, is not about $900,000. Don't have the room, but again, they do have the room for it under the cap. They can make the move. If you know, but what happens is it puts you in the luxury tax. Not only do you wind up paying, it'll be nominal. Out of that, if you go $500,000 over, maybe $1.2 million in tax, something like that, but you don't collect the $10 million overage from the other teams in the tax. Golden State is way in the tax. Brooklyn is way in the tax. Mickey Arison's son, Nick Arison, has taken over business operations from the Heat, has that Duke management degree, is trying to manage this team somewhat prudently. It's very hard to say, no, we won't take your $10 million. Now, if the Heat reach a point where you and I are here on the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint 3-hour extravaganza every week because they're a contender, then I think all of a sudden Mickey goes all in and says, agreed. You know what? That $10 million I lose, I'll make it up on marketing. I'll make it up on drawing free agents in the future. I'll make it up on sales and things like that. Then you go into it. Right now, let's sit back a little bit and you figure it out.
Playoff games extending into the NBA Finals, and that's where then it becomes worth it. And yes, I agree 100% that if they get to that point. We're up against a break. Mr. Spock mentions John Wall. Perfect fit. And we talked about this last week. We can talk about that more as the show goes on. I want to get to this one because this leads into our next segment. Thomas says the best case scenario is Hero learns from Kyle Lowry and can be a quality point guard coming off the bench. I feel like what we've seen Hero doing so far is a lot more suited to his strengths than trying to be that backup point guard. We're going to talk about what he's done so far and is it sustainable coming up next right here on Inside the Paint.